The Three Miss Margarets.
Chapter 1. She'd gone to bed with her shoes on, and not by accident. She'd deliberately climbed under the covers fully clothed and pushed her shod feet down between the clean sheets. Because she felt like it. Because she was mad at the world at large, and whatever force passed for God in particular. Because it was the kind of thing an icon didn't do. And Margaret Elizabeth Banning, otherwise known as Miss Littlebit, definitely qualified as an icon in her little part of the world. Which just went to show that if you lived long enough, any old damn thing could happen to you. At least it could in a place as lacking in a sense of humor as Charles Valley. Humor and memory. There probably weren't five people left in town who remembered that in her youth, at 6 feet tall, with far more nose than chin, and a father who was, to put it politely, different, she had been considered a disaster. Then, she was the homely as a mud fence daughter of the local lunatic who couldn't get herself a man if her life depended on it. Now, she was an icon. "That Miss Littlebit," the locals would say, to visitors who'd come to Charles Valley to soak up its southern charm and visit its world-famous horticultural center. "She's the real thing, old South to her toes. She's a Banning on her daddy's side. They've been here since before the War of Northern Aggression, which is what we like to call it." Pause to allow the listener to chuckle at adorable southern humor. She still lives in that big old white house that's been in the Banning family since her great-granddaddy bought it in 1868. Runs it herself, does Miss Littlebit. Just has that girl Cora come in to do for her twice a week. And she keeps up the old Justine Gardens, too. Well, they're not the originals, you understand, but she redid them close to. The Justine family is famous in these parts. They owned a plantation that covered all of Lawson County until the family lost it during Reconstruction. Miss Littlebit's great-granddaddy bought the big house and the gardens around it to keep it from going for taxes. The Justines were his wife's people, cousins a couple of times removed. And Miss Littlebit, she keeps the gardens like they were back in the olden days. Why, she's even got some magnolia trees that were put in 100 years ago. Pause for inevitable tourist response to quaint local eccentricities. Yes, ma'am. I guess we Southerners do take our history real serious. And Miss Littlebit, like I said, she's the real thing. Well, the real thing was lying like a lump under her blankets, wearing the skirt and blouse she'd put on yesterday morning, her support hose, and her second-best pair of Natural Bridge Oxfords. Her admirers would be shocked. And if they knew what else she'd done in her time. But she wasn't going to think about that. She hoisted herself up in bed so she could read the clock on her nightstand. The numbers were insultingly large, meant for eyes that were starting to fail, although, of course, the salesgirl who suggested it had not said so. Her nap had lasted 44 minutes. Pleased, she turned off the vanquished alarm. She prided herself on waking before the thing went off, because no clock was going to tell her when it was time to stop sleeping. Especially not tonight. She was in control tonight. She had to be. Slowly, she pulled herself out of bed, her knees giving her the hard time she'd come to expect. But she wasn't going to coddle them. Tonight there was no such thing as aching joints. Tonight, her body would have to perform.